Your reputation is awesome. The wonders you have worked in the past. We have heard with our ears the stories of your power, and we have seen with our eyes the reality of your miraculous power and majesty and glory. So the author is saying here in verse 4, listen, he's like, this isn't theory now. This is reality. We know this is who our God is. No eye has seen or ear has heard. There's any God like our God.
Hey, welcome back to Live in the Light. If you are catching us for the first time today, or if you haven't been here for a while, we are in our last message in the series, Rivers in the Desert. Now, we've been going through some passages in the book of Isaiah, exploring how God wants to revive and refresh our souls. If you have missed a message in this series, don't worry. You can listen anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts, or on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Now, I have found in my life that God doesn't always, I could probably say often, work in the way that I expect. His timing, his plan, his execution tend to be different than what I would have planned for myself. But you know what? His way is always best, and I'm so thankful that he knows me better than I know myself. And what's comforting about that, too, is that his faithfulness and care in my past gives me so much confidence that he will continue to be good and faithful in the future, because that's who he is. We can't limit God with our ideas and our plans, and that's what this message is all about, the power of God and his sovereign plan. So open your Bible with me to Isaiah 64 as we conclude our message today.
About 20 years ago, the number of Christian converts from a Muslim background was between 5 and 10,000 people. Today, there's estimated between 800,000 to 1 million genuine Christians in Iran. According to Operation World, Iran has the fastest growing evangelical movement in the world. Now, when you think of 20 years ago, 5 to 10,000, now you think of, you know, approaching 1 million Christians. Again, that is astronomical growth. That is unbelievable. The world, the media will never tell you such things. But we're here today to report, man, God has opened up the heavens and he has come down and he is changing people and he is changing nations, even in our day right now. See, the challenge is we get so preoccupied with our own context. Got to look up and say, man, he is moving in extraordinary ways. Around the world, nations are quaking in the presence of God. Lord, please don't leave us out. Amen. Lord, please. Do not leave us out. We had such a good start as a nation. We were founded on principles that honor the Lord and the fear of God. We are leaving that. We are rejecting him. We are forsaking him. We are mocking him. We are hating him. We are hating him. And yet, God, your church, you will always have a remnant that will cry out for this nation and cry out for a revival work of God that will bring in and save thousands and thousands of people to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We long and beg for a moving of his spirit. We join with the author here. Oh God, we must see you work. Rend the heavens and come down. And when not just a couple of people do that, but a whole movement of Christians, genuine Christians, do that, these are the prayers that God will bend his ear towards. If we want to see revival, we must long, continually long for the unparalleled presence of God. Secondly, this, if we want to see revival, we must expect the unexpected. We must expect the unexpected. Like, why would you say that? Because the word says that. So look at verse 3. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, we were not expecting, we could not come up with. You came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. So there's such a longing by the author here. You see, his heart is bursting out of the pages. God, we need you to work. Yes, Lord, you must do this in our midst. He's pleading with God for what he's done in the past. But at the same time, notice this, there's a recognition that God has often done what was not expected. God works according to his own timing, his own ways, and his own methods. Isaiah 55, right? The Lord says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm higher than you. I am, again, so much wiser than you. Again, the Lord will do what he wants in his ways according to his wisdom. Amazing there, right? Like, expect the unexpected. Don't ever write God off. Now, consider this truth, that to expect the unexpected in the two most important events in the history of the world, the two most important events, of course, in scripture itself. Let's start with the incarnation, Christmas, where God the Son takes on flesh. So here's what God does. He decides that the perfect time and the perfect place and the perfect people to work within for the Son of God to be sent would be into a lowly town, to a peasant couple, to a virgin in a barn after 400 years of silence. Who comes up with that? And what is up with that? That's verse three. You did awesome things that we did not look for. So God sent the greatest shockwave of revival the world has ever seen through his Son. And he did it in a manner and a method that no human being would ever have come up with, ever. And loved ones, this is our God. He does things and he moves as he decides. And when he moves, though, the mountains quake. So interesting to me. This is such an important principle for our lives too. At the very moment we are often tempted to give up, at the very moment we are writing off the work of God, God is so often preparing to do his greatest work. We often stare at the trials of life. This happens, right? So trials hit our lives and heartache and difficulty. I get it. They hit our lives. And in our depression, in our discouragement, in our dismay, we, by our feelings, start to write the conclusion of the story. And we start to say, God, I thought you were good. And I thought you were going to be there for me. But I give up. I am done. And I'm going to just about to write the end. And God's like, wait, time out. You're writing the conclusion. I'm actually still in the introduction. Like, you're about to say the story's over. And he's like, are you really going to doubt me now? Like, after all we've been through, all you've seen, after all you've known for my word, the reality of my spirit and presence, and I can do anything I want, you're going to start to doubt me now? Really, child, really? Are you sure you want to? Does God talk this way? Oh, in some ways he does, right? But yeah, you're really going to start to doubt me? And that's where I think you say, man, so isn't it so true? There are hundreds of testimonies of our lives right now in this room of that truth and that principle of reality. We think it's over. God's like, I'm just getting started. You know, I mean, think about the gospel itself, right? So the incarnation, the event that changed the world, leading to what? Good Friday, the loneliest, darkest, most discouraging day in history from a perspective of seeing the Son of God come and die a horrible death and be murdered by the hands of those who hated him. If you're a follower of Christ, you're like, it could not get any worse. I always think, you know, Friday and Sunday get a lot of press. Saturday, man, dark, lonely, discouraging, desperate, depressed, despondent, disillusioned. And yet in the plan of God, the darkest day in history was setting up for the greatest turning point of resurrection power we could ever imagine. Who comes up with this stuff? Only God does. We don't write the story. The story we write, Jesus, you come to earth, you obliterate everyone who opposes us, and then we reign with you in victory. That's what the Jews wanted Jesus to do. God's ways are not our own ways. So you have in the very incarnation, which is Christmas, and you have Easter weekend, you have a plan of God that no human being would have ever devised or ever come up with. And this is when it comes to revival, we are so wise to expect the unexpected. God does not work in our timing. God does not work in our methods. God does not work according to our expectations. God does not work, again, whether we feel like it or don't feel like it. God does what he does, but he's looking for a group of people who seek to trust him and love him and continue to call out to him for the things, again, that only he can do. Church, if we want to see revival, we must long for his presence. We must expect the unexpected. Thirdly, this, we must never limit his power. Never limit his power. Look at verse 4. It says, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you. There's none like you. And look at this, who acts for those who wait for him. So here the author is saying, Lord, there's no God like you, not even close. There's no one that comes close to you. Your reputation, Lord, precedes you. Your reputation is awesome. The wonders you have worked in the past. We have heard with our ears the stories of your power, and we have seen with our eyes the reality of your miraculous power and majesty and glory. So the author is saying here in verse 4, listen, he's like, hey, this isn't theory now. This is reality. We know this is who our God is. No eye has seen or ear has heard. There's any God like our God. And loved ones, we are the same. We have thousands of years of proof and power of our God. For those of us who are alive in him right now, for those of us who are born again, who are alive in the Spirit of God, genuinely saved right now, we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit, the seal. We have the guarantee of the Holy Spirit living within us right now. I mean, he has shown us everything we need. He lives within us. We have, again, proof living inside of us as to the reality of his goodness and the victory that he has promised for us, again, as those who genuinely belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love too, man, over the centuries, we have watched so many people predict the death of God. We have watched so many people malign his church. We have watched so many people attempt to burn the Bible and to eliminate, again, religion or Christianity altogether. And here's what we know over the centuries. Every time someone does that, they die. And the word of God continues on forever. Every time someone says the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be obliterated and destroyed, they die. And the Church of Jesus Christ goes on because Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Every time people say the Bible will be an obsolete book by the year, whatever, 1920, whatever, the fact is that they die. And now the Bible is more in distribution than ever before in the history of the world. Why? Because God's pretty tough and pretty strong and pretty awesome. And so when he decides to do something, he's going to do it. Loved ones, don't ever, ever limit the power of God. See, we walk around and we see our culture and we see the thing and we're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. I mean, sometimes I'm like that. Sometimes it's like, oh, everything's bad, and God's just like, God is not walking around biting his nails. Okay, do you bite your nails? God is not pacing going, what am I going to do, man? What am I going to do? This is terrible. God's not doing that. He's never, ever wondering. He is ruling the universe with feet up. Amen? Like he is feet up sitting there and he is not stressed at all. Don't ever, ever limit his power. And here's the blessing. Here's what blessed me most in my study this week. I think it was the end of verse 4. The end of verse 4, it says this. This awesome God, he acts for those who wait for him. He acts for those who wait for him. So here's the challenge for me personally, and to, I think, you as well. Do we pray for a day, see it unanswered, and then give up? Do we seek him for a month, and then we kind of fade away in that pursuit? Ah, it's not working. And we got to fade away and go back to our worldly routines. Do we long for his working in a season, like in a study of revival in Isaiah? And then we don't maybe see the results that we desired. And so do we just withdraw at that point? Like, oh, well, it's not going to happen. Or do we persevere in what God has called us to? So I'm committed to being transparent before you. I often like to encourage you with my discouragement. And so last Sunday, a week ago today, last Sunday night, and Sunday night particularly, Monday morning, man, a lot of whispers came to my head just about the things we're talking about. I was discouraged, man. I was like, just a lot of kind of those voices of negativity of like, oh man, all these things you guys are trying to pray for and all the prayer meetings you've had and the study of revival and, you know, like trying to go for this. But hey, Where's it gotten you? You know, and particularly last week and coming off the service, is just unusually tired, exhausted, and honestly, just discouraged. And in my weakness, I'm tempted to say, what's the point? What's the point? Again, settle for less, Simons. It's too hard to keep going that direction. The hill's too steep. So much easier. Climb back down and just coast. So much easier. Woke up Monday morning, man. Discouragement set in again, sitting there. I sat in my study desk and I opened up Isaiah 64. And I kind of, another message on the theme of revival. And I was like, why, Lord? Why? Not good, eh? Not good. That is amazing to me that as you continue to press on with the Lord, and I started to read Isaiah 64, and then I learned about the passage and then like the context of Isaiah 63. And I see this author saying, where are you, Lord? I'm like, that's good. That's good. And he's like, how come you haven't returned to us? And I'm like, wow. I kind of relate to that right here too. And then he's like, how come you've left us and kind of abandoned us? I'm like, why aren't you doing what I want you to do? The author's saying, how come we don't see you working? And I'm just like, man, that really preaches. You know, like I didn't know this was even here. And then to come to 64, oh, rend the heavens that you might come down, O Lord. We need your presence. And I'm like, man, we're in good company right here. And then I got to verse 4 and the Holy Spirit kind of brought it together for me. And then, but he acts for those who wait for him. And I felt the Lord, he's so kind and so gracious. I honestly, simultaneously felt the Lord saying to me, I'm like, God, speak to me. Because in my discouragement, I knew it wasn't right. My darkness, God, you have to speak to me. I need your voice to cut through the lies. I need you to renew my mind as I seek to seek you. And he did, and he did. And he said in this passage, Robbie, you're on the right track. Like Hope Bible Church is on the right track. But will you give up after a moment or will you continue to press on and seeking me for only I can do? Will you decide and judge based on your timing? Or will you trust me in obedience for my timing and my will for the days to come? Do not give up, child, in seeking me for what only I can bring. I act for those who wait for me. You want to clap for that? I'm going to clap for that too. I was so encouraged, man. And I'm still so encouraged. It's amazing how he brings us in discouragement and he speaks to us and then all of a sudden it pops with life. And I feel it right now. It's so good. And then in my study, I came across two quotes that I just trust me, I should not have seen. Like it just caught my attention in the back of a book and there was a reference. What is that? And I went there and the Lord used it. One of these quotes was here from Otto Hallesby. He said this, and just this spoke to me so much here too. Prayer is like mining. Prayer is like boring holes deep into the rock of human hearts. I mean, you ever try to bore a hole into the rock? It really is work, isn't it? It's work. It's a lot of hard work. It's easy to give up. It's easy to be exhausted. It's easy to say, I'm not getting anywhere. You're putting the drill down, drill, 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 and you're hardly getting anywhere. And it just feels like, what's the point? This kind of work tries our patience. It really, really does. It tries our patience. Why? Because we can't see the results. See, this is where I was in the voices of the enemy a week ago. Can't see the results, God. Like, but then in God's time, he places the dynamite and lights the fuse, and then the rocks are blown to smithereens. They crumble. And listen to what he says right here. God has called us, I love this so much, to give him no rest. So interesting, eh? Like it's so true in scripture too, in our passage here. God calls us to give him no rest until his church is revived. Like when I read this quote, it was just the Holy Spirit saying, Robbie, that is what I'm continually calling this church towards. You don't just say it for a day or for a season or whatever. You seek me for a lifetime and you do not give me rest, church. God says, children, do not give me rest. Persistent widow, you keep asking until the judge relents. Luke 11, you keep knocking on the door until the friend answers. Go away, I'm sleeping. Get away, my children are sleeping too. I don't want to get up. Fine, I'll get up. Luke 11, fine, I'll get up. If you stop knocking, I will get up and answer the door. That's an example of how God wants us to approach. Give him no rest. Do not let him sleep until he makes the church revived in praise of the earth. Man, when I read that, I was like, that is awesome. You know, like I was so encouraged. I mean, so many ways we can apply that to our lives right now. It's work. We can't see the results, but in God's time. In God's time. This is absolutely necessary if we're going to see the Lord do what only He can do. Never limit His power. Do not give up. And leads us to our fourth and final and brief point, which is this. We want to see revival. We must continue in joyful obedience. We must continue in joyful obedience. Look at the first half of verse 5. You meet Him. Stop right there. You meet Him. God, you meet Him. Okay, that's God's mindset. Whatever comes next is very, very important. You help those who, whatever comes next, I'm going to write that down. I want to know. You bless, you meet, you help those who joyfully work righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Who is the one the Lord meets with and helps? It's the one who pursues joyful righteousness. Joyfully, notice, works righteousness. What does that mean? The one who faithfully continues in obedience. Obedience when we don't feel like it. Obedience when we're discouraged. Obedience when we're beaten down. Obedience when we don't feel the way we think we should feel. Obedience to the truth of God in faith in God. Obedience is powerful, man. Obedience in revival is massive. Do you know what? Disobedience, think about this. Disobedience is the quickest way to quench the Spirit of God in your life. Disobedience is the quickest way to quench the Spirit of God within your life. I love, you read like, let's say the revival story in Canada, Saskatoon. We talked about that a few weeks ago. The amount of people, when the Spirit of God starts to work, the amount of people who are going to grocery stores and repenting of stealing items like a decade ago and then paying back with it, whatever it is, the amount of stories like that of people obeying and making right the wrongs that the Lord has exposed. It's just remarkable. The amount of people going to one another and confessing and repenting sin in obedience to the Spirit of God, that they would please the Lord in their actions, the power of obedience when God is truly working. Where can obedience be seen in your life today? Where are you being called to joyfully obey the Lord today that you may no longer forfeit the blessing of God in your walk in life? I mean, let's just take a simple example, and I don't mean to make anyone feel guilty. I do mean to bring conviction. Baptism. There's no such thing as an unbaptized believer in the New Testament. You are here today, you're saved in Jesus Christ, you've yet to be baptized. And just to put it really bluntly, there's an element of disobedience there. It's the easiest step of obedience initially in the Christian life, right? So baptism, you give glory to Christ by testifying to the fact that He saved you, and that brings joy and blessing upon your life. Obedience results in joy and blessing. A failure to do what God has so clearly commanded in His word is disobedience. On some level, we then forfeit a sense of blessing and joy and God's working and presence within our lives. Some sense that happens. Let's go beyond that right now. What does obedience look like for you today? Maybe it's purity in your home. There's been impurity. There's been sinful anger. There's been works of unrighteousness in your home. And you are being called to obey towards purity that you might know the joy and blessing and you could say favor of God. Maybe obedience, right? Maybe the Holy Spirit. So often happens, the Holy Spirit starts to kind of knock on our hearts a bit, and He's gentle, but He's also clear, and He starts to nudge us in the direction He wants us to go. Some of you right now, you are being called to obey in generous giving to the work of the Lord, specifically in this season right now. And God has led you to that place. And there's been some excuses or rationalization. There's been some desire for the stuff around you. But to obey in that moment brings blessing. I'm telling you right now, if the Lord is speaking to you right now in this way, he hears your opportunity. Will I obey or will I choose to disobey? Right? Maybe it's this week. God has been leading you. He has placed a certain person in your life that you have a burden for to share your faith. And this is the week to do it. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ by someone God has specifically placed in your life. And now he is asking you to obey, to step out in faith and to bring the light of Christ into the darkness of that person's life. Or maybe it's this week you will reach out in obedience because God has led you to invite people to church this Christmas Eve. Maybe in the moment you can share Christ right there and say, I'd like you to come and hear more about my Savior Jesus. Again, maybe that's obedience for you this week. Sharing your faith when God has provided an opportunity to do so. I always marvel at that. As we seek to be obedient, God will clearly, he will provide a door. He doesn't force us, but he's like, the door opens in a conversation, the door opens in an opportunity. And in that moment, we decide, will I obey or will I disobey? And by faith, you choose to walk through the door that he has opened, and then you seek to allow him to respond. We're not in charge of how it goes. We're just in charge of obeying what he has asked us to do. Where can obedience be seen in your life? Maybe obedience this week, honestly, is he's led you to pray. And like the prayer meeting this Wednesday, I'm not saying it's disobedience if you don't go, but if God tells you to go, if God asks you to go or asks you to pray in this way, then of course, yes, it would be disobedience if he leads us in that way. Maybe this week leading up to Christmas, I mean, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. So abiding is a command from the Lord Jesus Christ, an invitation to blessing. And if we fail to abide in him, then there's a sense of disobedience. Maybe this week leading up to Christmas, you will obey by spending time with Jesus more than you have this year. You will wake up early this week and seek him and pray to him and love him and worship him with music. Maybe that's obedience for you this week. See, and notice in our text here, it's not begrudgingly. It's not grumpy obedience. You see that? It's joyfully works righteousness. The joy of the Lord and joyfully seeking him for him. The power of what we do. So where do we go from here? Well, this is kind of recapping our text here. Where do we go from here as we seek revival from the Lord in our lives and in our church and beyond? We keep praying, we keep longing, we keep expecting, keep believing, we keep waiting. And yes, in all these things, we keep obeying. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Amen. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Father, I do pray, and I pray I'm joined by brothers and sisters agreeing that, Lord, you would rend the heavens and come down. We need you. We need you. We need your presence. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your power. We need your life. We need your love. We need your transforming gospel to change lives. Lord, we need you to do what only you can do. I pray there would be a tremendous growing expectation. I pray, Lord, that there would be a faith growing in your unlimited power. And I pray there would be a beautiful obedience among your people. Yes, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca. or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be-